together this morning to Isaiah 55. Using the Pew Bible, it's on page 615. I'll be reading in the ESV, which I believe you have before you. Isaiah 55, we're going to read the chapter in its entirety. It's only 13 verses long. Isaiah 55, page 615. Hear the word of the Lord to us this morning. Come. Everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. He who has no money, come. Buy any. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me and eat what is good. Delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear that your soul may live. I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. Behold, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and a commander for the peoples. Behold, you shall call a nation that you do not know, and a nation that you do not know will run to you because of the Lord your God and the Holy One of Israel. He has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Fall upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, that he may have compassion on him, to our God, that he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, making seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I propose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. You shall go out in joy and live forth in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall break forth in singing, and all the trees of the field clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress, instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle, and it shall make a name to the Lord, an everlasting sign shall not be cut off. Word of the Lord to us. Now, as you have your Bible open before you this morning, let me take you directly to what I believe is the central verse in this chapter, and that everything else is built around it. In fact, as we see everything else built around it, it all the more lifts it up and to its glorious place that it ought to be held by us as Christians. So I would suggest to you this morning the central theme, the central focus of this chapter is verse 7. Would you look there a minute with me? It says, let the wicked forsake his way, and all the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord. Why? Why would I do that? What would motivate me to do that? That he may have compassion on him. And to our God, for he will, and you have your personal Bible with you today, I would suggest you underline this, he will abundantly pardon. Abundantly pardon. I just want to put that sweet word into your mouth this morning and just have you go, oh, this is good news. I bring you this morning good news from Isaiah 55. If you're a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, if you love him, you're seeking to serve him in all of your brokenness, yet seeking to and say a sweet word to you this morning. Your sins That's the good news of this text. That's a central teaching here. And so what I want to say to you this morning is that God's ways are not my ways, your ways. His ways are not like our ways. He doesn't think like we think. Particularly to this central truth. He does not forgive the way we forgive. He doesn't think about forgiveness the way we think about forgiveness. What he does is he comes to us with an incredible compassion and a work of abundantly pardoning his people. Now, just as the text gives us this warning, let me do the same. The text tells us, verse 7, that the wicked must forsake his ways. I'm not saying the Lord just forgives everybody and has compassion on everybody and anybody. You can do what you want now. Come on now, that's silly. You know that. But perhaps we don't know deep enough in our soul of the forgiveness God brings to his people. It is abundant, and it is a pardon that's never altered, never changed. It's declared upon us because of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's just review a minute the gospel with the simple words that our sin, our wickedness, our wretchedness, come on, from 2022 has been transferred, praise God, to Jesus Christ. That's what I came for. My sin. What did he give me back? Boys and girls, come on now. If your brother and sister, a brother or sister, maybe messes with your stuff, breaks your favorite toy. Some of our grandkids this week, they made this awesome Lincoln Log house, right? And it was cool. And one of the kids went and knocked it down. Well, it wasn't very nice. And you know what the kids did that had built this thing? What'd they do? Did they turn and say, "It's okay, I forgive you"? Was that the first words out of their mouth? No, you got it right. No. They were upset. And look at what our Lord does in verse 7. He has compassion on us when we come to him and seek his forgiveness. You know what that means? Compassion. That means that when I'm in the midst of my sin, when I'm in the midst of my most wretchedness, and when I'm in the midst of really doing wrong, what's the Lord doing? He's drawing to me. That's incredible. We don't do that. When someone's being bad to me, what do I tend to do? What do you tend to do? Draw closer to them? No. You draw away from them. You back away from them. But compassion doesn't do that. Compassion understands us and draws to us. It moves forward to us. I remember one time in church, one of the elderly ladies in our church, fell and broke her hip, and everyone just loved this whole thing. And I remember making the announcement, and Ellie just fell and broke her hip. You know what the church, you know what happened in the church? Throughout the church, I could hear this. That's compassion. When the Lord sees us fall in our brokenness, he's moved with compassion towards us. I say to you again this morning, God is not like you and me. He has a compassion that's so full of grace, I can't get my arms around it. In fact, it really saddens me when I'm in the midst of a bad attitude or my sin nature showing itself. When I think to myself that it's at that moment in time that my Lord is not drawing away from me. He's drawing towards me. hopefully it breaks my heart. I hope it breaks your heart.
When you get that attitude going on, you say, you know, Jesus is sitting close to me. It's as if he's stepping next to me and saying, are you okay there? What's up? Can I help you? Remember, I love you. Our God is not like that. What does it say then? He has compassion on him and what else? He abundantly pardons. I've been trying to come up with an illustration of abundance. Okay. I don't know. We'll try this. I tried this with my grandkids. They weren't very impressed. But let me try it. How many people are living on this earth right now? Did you know? I think in November they declared our population on this earth now is 8 billion. Okay? 8 billion. So, how about kids? You go out and play, and you know, this weather right now, you're just going to get all the money, right? I mean, it's money outside, right? So now you come to the door, and oh my goodness, you want to come in the house? And Bob says, you ain't coming in here, you're filthy. Stay out there. But what happens if 8 billion people, every person on this planet, took a gallon of water out of Lake Michigan and poured it on you? Would you get cleaned up? 8 billion gallons of water poured on your head? That'd be pretty abundant, wouldn't it? But see, this word is even more than that. Because if you take Lake Michigan and you take 8 billion gallons out of it, way less than 1%. Or way less. But it's as if God's taken all of Lake Michigan and pouring on us. His abundant pardon means every inch of your dirt is washed away. So when you look back at 2022 and just reflect all that you did wrong in Christ is washed away like it's a Lake Michigan. Just pour it on you. I don't know if that illustration helps. It's just overwhelming. His pardon. And this word pardon, where do you hear this kind of word? We don't say that to each other. I pardon you. We don't say that. It's in a courtroom, right? We got to go to court to hear that word. And what that means is the judge has considered the facts, and now he decrees whether you're guilty or you're pardoned. To be pardoned doesn't mean you didn't do something wrong. It just means what you did wrong is no longer going to be held against you. God doesn't keep thinking about it. When people do something wrong to me, you know what I do? I tend to think about it. Do you tend to think about it when people have done you wrong? God doesn't think about it. That's why the text says, as far as the east is from the west, as far as the east, and removed our transgressions. You say, Pastor, that's too much. That's too much good news. I say to you this morning, that's the gospel. That's the power of the word. And it's a truth that I find in my heart, I have to. I don't tend to believe it. It takes faith to believe what that God is doing something that I never do. He thinks and does way beyond God. And if we don't come to grips with our forgiveness, we will carry with us that word called guilt. Now, guilt is a wonderful thing that the Holy Spirit uses. I well remember before I became a Christian, yet experiencing guilt in my conscience. That's a good thing. I well remember even becoming a believer and still having guilt at times. It brought me to Christ. That's good. It was good today that I still sense guilt when I do something wrong. But to hold on to guilt, to keep guilt, is not what God would have us do. For he is abundantly pardoned. And if he's abundantly pardoned, why are we arguing with him? With guilt. If you're trying to, well, let me put it this way. I was with a guy the other day, and he's training to climb Mount Everest. I was pretty impressed by that. You know anybody who's ever climbed Mount Everest? He's going into 6-month training. It won't be his first attempt, it'll be his third. He hasn't done it yet. He hasn't been able to get up there all the way yet, but he's going to try again, and he's going to 6 months worth of training. But I'll tell you what he's not going to do when he climbs Mount Everest. He's not going to have a ball and chain tied to his leg. And that's what it means to have wrong guilt, guilt that God has pardoned, is wrong guilt, and to drag that through you in life. How are you going to function in 2023 if you're still dragging the guilt that God's pardoned? Are you with me? So now, having said all that, focused on verse 7. Let's just go to the front of the chapter and see how it starts. Listen to the grace of God calling you this morning. Is he calling you? Look at, listen. How many times did he say come? Look at it. Come, everyone who thirsts. Come to the waters, he who has no money. Come buy, eat. Come buy wine and milk. Come. Then he goes, listen and eat and delight and incline and hear and seek and call and forsake. All these commands. Why would I do that? Because he's seeking to pardon me. Come. What is it that you're hungry for? One answer? Forgiveness. My mom and dad have passed away. There's a couple of things in my life with my dad that I would love to sit down. Couple of things that I said to him, some things that I did to him that were very wrong. I was a bad kid. And I still remember those things. What do I want? I want to be forgiven. Don't you? And this is what we have as forgiveness. So come. That's what our soul longs for. Come, listen, eat, delight yourself in all of this. Come, so that guilt might be taken away. And then you come to verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. We see here this declaration that the way I have compassion and the way that I pardon is not the way you think. By the way, let's just think about that a minute. Who was it, right? Peter came to Jesus. Yeah, Matthew 18. And said to Jesus, how many times do I have to forgive someone? Okay, so Peter's going to illustrate our thinking. And he pretty well does so for me. So let's see if he does for you. He comes to the Lord. How many times? You know the story. I won't bother to read it this morning. Matthew 18. I know, Lord. How about this? How about if I forgive somebody 7 times? That's pretty good, isn't it? Now, you know, when you first hear that, you think, oh, come on, Peter. But then, well, wait a minute. Slow down. Think a minute. When was the last time you forgave somebody 7 times? Well, let's say somebody at work slanders your name, lies about you. Kids, maybe somebody at school is kind of mean to you. How many times will you forgive them? I mean, you know, come on, I'll forgive them once. Just say he comes to me and says, hey, you know, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that. Will you forgive me? Okay, hey, right? One time? It's all right. Then he turns right around and does it again. Second time. You going to forgive him a second time? Oh, okay, it's getting a little hard, but we'll. About a third time. Peter says, how about 7 times? 4 times, 5th time, 6th time, 7th time? What? No, sorry. By that time, I'm not having compassion anymore. I'm away from you. I've cut you off. I don't even want to read your email anymore. I'm done with you, right? You're done. And Jesus, what was his answer? It depends on how you want to translate it. 7 times 70? 77 times, whatever. You get the point? Way beyond we could even imagine. I'm not thinking that the way God is forgiving me. Amen. Oh, doesn't it break your heart sometimes? You go to the Lord and you go, Lord, remember yesterday when I was talking to you and I had to confess that sin on back again. Same sin. What is the answer? No. We've arrived at the limit of 7 times. Nobody doesn't say that. He abundantly pardons us in Christ. But this is where I am. I'm held in his hands. I'm surrounded by his love. It never ceases for a Christian. It becomes truly significant for the world. I'll read on. Note all the force, all the reasons of 55. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. That they're so high that they're higher than the heavens. Boys and girls, have they found the end of the universe yet? Have they sent a satellite out there yet that found the end of the universe? No, can't find the end of this thing. That's what God is saying. Here's an illustration of my pardoning. It's beyond the heavens. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed and sower and bread in the ear, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. The word that goes out from God's mouth brings fruit, brings life. It's like watering a plant. Now I ask you, what is the word that comes out from God's mouth in this text? That waters the plant. And you know verse 11. You know this precious verse. This is the Gideon verse. I mean, they love this verse. When I was in the Marine Corps, I started first reading the Bible, the Gideon Bible they gave me. Verse 11 is their ministry verse. So shall my word be that goes out from my mouth, it shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I propose, and it shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. I ask you this morning, what's the word? What is the word that goes out from his mouth? I say to you this morning from this text, Christian, the word is, I forgive you. I forgive you. I'm asking you this morning to take a little sharper knife and go a little deeper into your heart and ask yourself, do I believe this? Now I know that there may be within our sin nature heart some wicked thought like, well, of course he forgives me. I'm a nice guy. No, no, you're not. That's not why he forgives you. So if anyone's thinking that, please get your eraser out and get rid of that. Would you remember that when Jesus died on the cross, his blood washed away all of your sins? He says to you today, I forgive you. I ask you again this morning to cut deeper into your heart. Faith. Let your faith grip this truth. Jesus Christ is forgiven of every sin, all of my sin, abundantly. In every single way, he's forgiven. Now I ask you this morning, do you believe this fully? Because I don't think verses 12 through 13 is going to happen in your life if you don't believe this. And I don't believe God will be glorified and magnified in your salvation if you don't believe this. Because if you think, well, Jesus, yeah, he died on the cross for my sins, but hey, he's still got to be mad at me.
hey, you still got to say, oh, I don't like you at all. I'm sorry I had to say to you. I'm sorry, you're one of my worst lambs. If that's your thinking, that's not biblical. Remember what Paul said about himself in 1 Corinthians? He said, yeah. The fact that as he wrote, he said, if you line up all the apostles, I'm the worst one. Then later he says, if you line up all the Christians, I'm the worst one. Then later, I think it's in 1 Timothy, he says, you line up all Christians, everyone there is, I'm still the worst one. You line up every person there is on the earth, I'm the worst one. Also. Was this false humility? No. The closer he got to Jesus Christ, the more he recognized his sin. But did he just sit there in his sin, in his brokenness, and say, see, there's no hope? No. He rose up and said, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And he fulfilled verses 12 and 13. And I want 12 and 13 to be alive and active in your heart. I want it to be alive and active in my heart. And I believe that one of the reasons it's not many times is because I don't believe the gospel. Look at verse 12. Do you want this to happen in your life? You shall go out of Israel. What did I say? Go out of depression? No. Despair? No. Cast down? No. What? Go out of Israel. If there's anyone that should be happy, it's Christians. Nobody should be smiling out in the marketplace more than us. No one should be smiling at work more than us. No one should be walking on their toes more than us. Just enjoying our life. Sometimes I say, hi, how you doing? And somebody responds, oh, you know, not too bad. What does that mean? Bad, but not too bad? Wait, what kind of testimony is that as Christians? We got to get rid of that. Well, not too bad. Not too bad. I've been saved by the blood of the Lamb. I am forever his child. My sins are totally forgiven. I got something not right with me. Life is great. Are you looking forward to 2023? We ought to be going out with joy because we've been forgiven by the blood of the Lamb. Amen? Shame on us if we're not going out with joy in light of all that God has blessed us with. We shall go out in joy. This will happen. And be led forth in what? Turmoil? Chaos? No. Peace with God. And peace with one another, because why? Because I'm learning from God how to forgive. And this whole topic of forgiveness is a massive topic. I think preached 12 sermons on forgiveness with one another. All of this. And then after the sermons, we sat in Sunday school and just talked about it, trying to learn to forgive one another and what that means and how to develop boundaries. Barriers and care in our relationships. I get that. This is a massive topic. But the point is this morning is that there ought to be peace in our relationships. Because we honestly love one another, because we forgive one another, because God has forgiven us. So let's go out in peace. In fact, if this would happen, it will change the creation. And that's what Isaiah is poetically putting. The mountains and the hills before you shall break forth and sing, and all of the trees of the fields shall clap their hands. Now one day this will literally happen on the new earth. The creation will be so happy that salvation is fully come. But even yet today, oh, we could change the tone in our homes by loving one another. So instead of a thorn, that little thing in your life that's just bugging you, instead of a thorn, it'll come up the cypress. Instead of the briar, it'll come up the myrtle. What a beautiful plant. And it shall make a name for the Lord, an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. God has a plan. That's for us to go out in joy. The joy of forgiveness. Oh, my God, we should help us believe in God. Amen. So easy to say when we say that. I believe in what? The forgiveness of sin. Yeah.
Our Father in heaven, would you help us trust you, trust your word? Would you help us rest in this great truth? Father, would you help us worship you because of this great truth? Would you forgive us abundantly? Father, would you help us? Thank you that you're not like us. Thank you that you don't forgive like us. That you righteously, justly, properly, fully, Father in heaven, thank you for this new day, new year. Help us to go out and enjoy it and experience your peace. In Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Let's sing 4.